Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you here again this episode. Hey, thanks again for checking out our stuff. Hey, thank you again for sharing our podcast. For those who have reached out, I've asked great questions, and even those of you that reached out for help that said, like, hey, Chris, you know, we're in a place where, you know we should have more money, or we know we can get our money working for us better. How do we do it? Hey, it's been awesome. So thank you for reaching out, and thank you guys for listening to this show. Quick shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowners Preservation. If you want to make great money, great returns while making a great difference in people's lives by helping them stay in their homes, this crowdfunding source is a great fund to check out. American Homeowners Preservation, what they do is they help people stay in their homes. And so with investing as little as $100, you can make amazing returns, and get monthly cash flow from it. So go check out their website. Their website's www.fundingahp.com. That's F-U-N-D-I-N-G-A-H-P. So today, I was looking at really what to talk about. This one was easy because earlier this week, I actually posted a post on my Facebook page, on my Facebook wall. I was getting up in the morning, I'm checking out some of the financial news, and what do I see? Bitcoin tanks. And it ended up dropping below to about $7,000, per Bitcoin. Now, just weeks ago, we were, especially towards the year end, the thing like soared about 20 grand per Bitcoin. And then all of a sudden it's dropped down to about a third. And then now it's recovered about 8,000 or so. It's a little over 8,000 right now. So the thing I said is, hey, where are all the Bitcoin promoters, right? Where all those people go after now it's tanked to 7,000? Because I'll tell you, my Facebook news feed got really quiet when Bitcoin started dropping. You know, it was all the rage. You know, everybody became an expert. People that have never even had money before, that have never made real money before in their lives, all of a sudden had become experts because of Bitcoin. Somehow they become experts, right? And then all of a sudden they went quiet. And I was like, well, where's all the Bitcoin boasts? And, I don't use emoticons very often, so I try to use an emoticon. And I was trying to do, feeling amused. And instead it came out feeling sarcastic, which ticked people off. Oh my goodness. It was various reactions. Some of them, majority of people were laughing. Majority of people was like, yes, exactly. But there were some people who were like, whoa, this is mean for you. You know, what about those people that lost money? You know, what about those people that, you know, blank, you know, or whatever it might've been. Like, it's like, hey, like, you know, hey, this, just because it went down doesn't mean it won't go back up. It'll get up to this point, you know, like just watch, wait and see. The technology still makes sense, you know, all these people defending it. And I've already done a Bitcoin podcast, so I've already given you my opinion. You can check that out on previous episodes here. And you already know, like, I think it actually could still go higher, you know, just like I think the stock market could still go higher for 2018, despite it having like a little dip this last week, you know. That's just normal swings. But the point is this, is that with the people's perspectives that kept coming out and what they like to project upon me, most of the stuff that people were saying had nothing to do with my perspective. I was calling out the people that were trying to profit and make people feel shamed and dumb for not investing in Bitcoin. But guess what? You know, now they were feeling dumb themselves, and a few of them even came out. And the people that were really like, the ones that are, of course, most offended are the ones that have self-interest in it, of course, right? The ones that are, they feel like their livelihood is at stake if that happens, or their ego is at stake. And the thing is, like, I'm not here just to, like, you know, tick people off necessarily. Like, I just know naturally I'm going to do that because I'm going to teach what I want to teach, you know? And I'll tell you, I've got a lot of experience. Like the last two decades, I've seen all kinds of market swings. I've seen swings in stock markets and everything else. I've seen a lot happen. I've been burned by the markets and I've recovered in the markets. You know, I've been, you know, I've been up and I've been down all around, you know, and I've seen a lot. And the biggest concern for me, and in fact, this actually gave me a new fire. This gave me a new passion for really helping you guys, because if you're listening to this, like hopefully you're somebody who wants a life that's more than just the average life, more than the mediocre. You don't want to be like everybody else. You don't want to have, you know, you want to end up being broke like everybody else. And what I mean by broke, I mean like not having a life of freedom. You know, you could be a millionaire and still be broke. You know, if you can't, you don't have the money to provide the life that you want, that's kind of like being broke. That's limiting and trying to squash your dreams. And I'm here to give you a different life. I'm here to give you guys a life that you can actually enjoy today, a life that can create cash flow and freedom right now, not waiting for 40 years for something that might happen, but something real. And that's what I'm here to do, especially those of you that are feel like you've been working your tail off, right? And I'll tell you, like, money isn't mysterious. And gambling is definitely not investing. And the reason that's become mysterious, money is mysterious for people, and why people mix up gambling and investing is because you've been taught so many myths. And that became apparent in that newsfeed. Holy cow. Like, I couldn't believe it. And then some of the stuff that people are saying, things like, well, volatility is good. I'm like, what? When is volatility good? I was a trader. I traded the stock market. I taught 200 people how to trade the stock market. The only time volatility was good was if you were either day trading or you're swing trading, which means you were trading anywhere from a few days to a few weeks max. You weren't holding on to something and hoping that the value would keep going up. That's what they're saying. So when I heard somebody say, well, volatility is good for the market. In fact, I had a few people say that. I was like, no, it's not. But like, yeah, but the, you know, the value's there. And they're like, what about investing in these companies? I'm like, but you don't have any control of these companies, just like the stock market. What makes it any different? You know, and they're like, yeah, but I'm investing in the vision. It's like, vision doesn't matter if governments step in. Vision, you know, visions are squashed by governments. You know, just like I said about Bitcoin, I fully expect governments to start taking it over. Hey, the SEC, you know, the markets have already stepped in. One, to profit on it, but two, to start getting the camel's nose in the tent to start, you know, really getting their way in, to start regulating it. It's going to start getting regulated, guys. You know, and it's been free from regulation, which is why people have loved it. It's becoming a currency, and eventually it can get replaced as a currency by something new. People can take the technology and use it for other stuff. Technology, great. Bitcoin is not the technology. They're separate things. And so, you know, when people are like talking about that, it's like, my goodness, guys, like, are you not seeing, you know, what's there? And then I realized, no, you're not. You've been taught a bunch of myths. Just like I was, even when I was a financial advisor, I was taught a lot of these myths. So the key is you've got to understand the principles of the economy, principles of money that are true, that work. And so, for example, let me talk about gambling versus investing. And in fact, somebody brought this up. You know, gambling is when you're essentially riding market waves. If you're just trying to ride a market wave, but you have no influence over those waves, you are a gambler. Whenever I taught people how to trade stocks and options, you know, I would tell them very in the beginning, because I realized that my values and also my understanding of money, I knew that I was teaching people to gamble, not to be investors. And so I flat out just told them whenever they got sold, you know, up to $50,000 sometimes for a coaching program with a company I was with, you know, and they were sold that, I would just say, listen, if you're investing in the stock market, you're gambling, plain and simple. My only job is to teach you how to do it with as little risk as possible. Are you okay with that? And almost everybody but one person was. The one person was like, I don't know, maybe I should rethink this. And they end up, you know, canceling. They end up, you know, getting their money back, which I was totally fine with, you know, because I was like, great. You know, this got them to check themselves a little bit. But the rest of them were like, yeah, I'm willing to accept that risk. I'm like, great. Well, I'm going to try to make you as less of a gambler as possible, even while you're a gambler. And because even when you could, you know, do all that, and people brought this up with the Bitcoin post I did. They're like, well, there's the technical analysis, the fundamentals and stuff. I'm like, I know technical analysis and I know fundamental analysis. I did both of those things with stock trading. And guess what? Neither of those created a guarantee. Even when I did both, I was one of those rare people. I actually did both of those things, you know, where some people were just technical, you know, analysts and things like that. I would actually look at the swings, like I would look at the charts, and I would look at the fundamentals of the company and see if there's something legit. And even when all those things lined up, guess what? Things would still surprise me. Sometimes it would go up when I thought it would go down. Sometimes it would go down when I thought it would go up. You know, and I would lose money sometimes. Now, I found different ways to protect myself and hedge risk and do stuff. I can guarantee you anybody who's doing Bitcoin has not even figured that out, because there's not really, they're just now starting to get things that would even make that possible. But my point is this, is that like if you're riding market waves, you're a gambler, not an investor. Don't ever call yourself an investor if you're trying to ride market waves. If you're even trying to buy real estate and you're buying real estate with only the hopes of appreciation, you are a gambler, not an investor. Now, you have a few aspects that make you more an investor, and I'll give you the difference here in just a second, but you're basically still gambling. There's still a big aspect of gambling you're putting there. Now, here's a false rumor that everybody thinks is truth. High risk creates high return is false. A higher chance of losing does not create a higher chance of winning. So when someone says volatility is essential, isn't it? No, volatility is a bad sign. Think of it from a common sense standpoint. If volatility, how much things swing up and down, if that were really good, wouldn't you want your income to look that way? I didn't make any money this month. Ooh, I made 50 grand this month. Ooh, I only made 2 grand this month. Ooh, I made 100 grand. You know, like if your income's all over the place, is that a good thing? If you're bipolar, essentially, if your income looks like, you know, some bipolar thing, is that good? If somebody's heart rate is volatile, like their heart rate goes all over the place, does that mean they're in good health? No. A business that's all over the place that's volatile is not a good sign, guys. That's actually evidence that you can't control something. That's more evidence that you should not be involved with something. By the way, penny stocks are like some of the most volatile stocks you'll ever see. So why don't we all go invest in that? No. Penny stocks are stupid. Even the people I know that are great investors and great traders, I shouldn't say investors, but traders in the market, they trade, they're gamblers essentially, right? Even the greatest ones still can have some issues with penny stocks because they're so unpredictable. They don't have the fundamentals. You know, you're just trying to buy something cheap and see if you can create great leverage. Here's the deal, guys. Like, if you believe high risk creates high return, that's false. There's nowhere in life where that's true. Take high risk with your health, do you get a high return? No, you just get a low return of death, a low return of life. If you take high risks in your marriage, you're not going to be married anymore. If you take high risks in your money, you're not going to have money anymore. It's simple. You know, Warren Buffett teaches there's two rules to investing. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, remember rule number one, don't lose money. So guys, I'm bringing this up because like, this is one of the fundamental truths of investing. Investors don't believe high risk creates high returns. They believe in making the risk as low as possible to create high returns. They try to find ways to manage the risk. So we look for control. So for example, we talked about real estate. I used that example before. Now real estate, yes, there's market swings. If you're just gambling on appreciation, that is a gamble. But where can you be an investor more? Well, one, if I know that I can buy a property, do I own and control the property? Do I call the shots? Yes, I do. You know, can I do something with that property? Can I fix it up? Can I do something? If I don't have a good renter, can I get a better renter? Yes, I can. Like, I can make decisions. I can control essentially returns. I can't control all the circumstances because the truth is you don't have control in a lot of things in life, but you can at least call the shots and influence the outcome more. And that is the key with investing. And the ultimate key is this, and I've taught this many times before, you got to look for a value proposition. There's got to be a way that you're creating value. So I brought that up with that guy in that post. I said, hey, you got to be creating value. You know, there's got to be value creation. He's like, oh, they have great vision and they're doing great things. Cool. Well, that's great. But how are you creating value? Do you think your little bit of money is making a difference? No, it's not. They're going to call the shots regardless of you. See, Warren Buffett, you know, you'll never see anybody in the Forbes richest people's list. You'll never see in the top billionaires list. You will never see someone, the closest you're going to find is someone like George Soros, who trades more like currency markets, right? He does Forex trading. But even him, he doesn't make more than about 25% average per year over his lifetime, guys. 25% a year. So, when someone's saying, like, I'm making hundreds of percent a year, yeah, that's not sustainable. Because if it were, they would be beating out Warren Buffett within a decade or two. You know, it doesn't happen that way. So, you know, the truth is, like, you know, especially, and by the way, Warren Buffett's not a trader. He doesn't trade and buy stocks on the market. He buys companies. He buys controlling shares where he at least gets on the board of directors, if not owns a company outright himself, and that he and his team can help manage and control what's going on in that company so that they can ensure their returns. They want a return of money. And even George Soros, like even with him, like he's got other investments too besides just market stuff, but he tries to do the same thing. You know, you're not going to see a losing year with him because he's trying to manage his risk. Again, investors try to do everything they can to control risk. They try to invest, you know. That's why the richest people are business owners. You know, again, they're looking for ways to control it and manage it. And that's where the best returns are. So in investors, they're looking for, how do I create value? Like, where's the value proposition? What am I doing that provides value? Bill Gates didn't become one of the richest men in the world because he just said, hey, let's do this computer thing. It's kind of cool. You know, he's like, no, he was looking for things like a way to serve the public. You know, that's why Apple became so big, is that they were looking for ways to serve the public. You know, Walmart, same thing. The Waltons would be Sam Walton would be the richest man in the world if he were still, you know, the owner, if he were still alive today. But of course, his wealth is divided up between all the Walton family, which if you look at them, you total up all their wealth, it's actually much higher than even Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. And you look at them, and same thing. It's about how to create value. Now, Walmart's lost a little bit of that pizzazz that it used to have, some of that customer service, but it still is leading the way in the retail business. It's about value creation. Investing is about looking for that value proposition, lowering risk, controlling risk, and then making returns on it. That's a natural byproduct. Money is just a natural byproduct of value. So we're looking at those kind of things. We're looking at, hey, how do we create exchange in the marketplace? You know, how do we allow more exchange to happen to strengthen the economy and things like that? Those are all key principles. And if you listen to a lot of these shows, you'll hear a lot of those principles will come out. A lot of those key principles that really do affect what goes on in the world. And so if you want to battle somebody who starts to talk what sounds like they're being really intelligent, they're like, oh, well, there's this technology and there's this and this and this, and they start dropping all these words. That's fantastic. Ask simple questions like, great, what's the value proposition? How are you personally creating value here? What are you doing for the marketplace? Really, like, what are you doing? And how is this not gambling? Like, how are you, if something happens in the market swings, can you control it? Can you somehow change the price of Bitcoin? Can you somehow change the price of this stock? Do you have control over that? Do you have that ability? If not, what makes you any different than any other gambler who's just trying to bet on black? You know, that's the real question. So guys, like, I want you to understand that if you want to be true investors, you got to really understand what it means to be an investor and how to invest. And there are ways to do it. If you're looking for ways to do it more safely, then this is what you need to listen to. This is what we need to be learning. If you're wanting to gamble, I'm not your guy. So anyways, guys, you make a wonderful, prosperous week. If you have questions, reach out to me, chris@moneyripples.com. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.